أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا سلام It's the night of the first of this month of Muharram, and it's the official opening of the azar of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. It was just recited that Ham khalq huwe Fatima Zahra ki dua se. This is a fact. There is this hadith which says that Shi'atuna qad khuliqu min fadili tinatina wa'ujinu binuril wilaya, that our Shias, they were created with the leftover clay with which Ma'sumin were created, and that clay was mixed with the light, with the noor of wilaya. So if we are Shias today, it's not just random out of the blue we were created. No, there is some speciality in this creation of mu'mineen, of Shias, or as it is said that it is the dua of Hazrat Zahra which resulted us being created. And if you analyze this hadith, you would see that on a night like tonight, or whenever an occasion is held to mourn, to cry for Aba Abdullah, or even if you look into the decor of this majlis, or even the black dress code that is being observed, without anything being uttered, without anything being recited, tears they roll down. And that is the reason which was just mentioned, that we were created with the leftover clay with which Ma'sumin were created. So when they are hurt, we are hurt. When they are happy, we are happy. With reference to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, when he was born, Futrus, you must have heard this, he's one of the angels who is working in the throne of Allah Jalla wa Ala, in the Arsh of the Almighty, and is punished for some reason. When Aba Abdullah al-Hussein is born, Jibreel, he with a large number of angels, he heads towards the earth. Futrus, he says that, Jibreel, where are you heading to? Says Prophet, he has been blessed with a grandson, and we are all going there to extend our felicitations to him. He says, can I join you? Says, yes, you can. There he comes, and this angel who was hurt, who was punished, who had lost his wings, touches his broken wings to the cradle of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, and there he is cured. That is that repentance, that tawbah, seeking Aba Abdullah al-Hussein as the mediator, he is forgiven, and all that he had lost was given back to him. The means of guidance that we have, among them the Prophet's utmost endeavor is that in this guidance is to serve others and to help others. There is a hadith again quoted from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And it is regarding one of his slaves, Thoban, and says that he is a great personality for whom the 69th verse of Surah An-Nisa was revealed. What is that verse? It is, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Says that, مَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, whosoever is obedient or obeys Allah and His Prophet, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, he will be among those who will be blessed by Allah and by the prophets, and will be with the prophets and those who are the truth, Siddiqeen, the martyrs, the shuhada, and the noble. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا, and that is the best of companies, the goodly companies which they possess. You all know that it took about 23 years for this Quran to be revealed upon the Holy Prophet. That is that gradual revelation of Quran. That is, it was all these different occasions which took place one after the other, and then gradually this Quran was revealed. And the reason for the revelation of different ayat, sometimes it is one ayah, sometimes it's two ayat. Sometimes you find that there is a surah that is revealed. And the reason for that, it's either the problems people they possessed, it's a solution to the problems which they had, or it was either the updating of the ahkam, or may have been a family issue, or a financial issue, war, peace, etc., which unfolded. And as a result of that, Allah, He reveals these ayat upon Rasulullah and instructs him how to do and how he should be tackling those issues. Thoban is among these slaves, son of Majd, and his title is Abdullah, is among those personalities who was freed by the Holy Prophet, lives in Yemen. Now again, Rasulullah, it was his tactic, or if you look into and analyze Islam, as Islam is the religion which freed the slavery, or which abolished slavery, and the teaching was such that if someone committed wrong, punishment, the atonement was that he has to free a set number of slaves, or someone who purposely does not fast, instructions were that he has to free 60 slaves. And the same thing was for all other ahkam that we had. So Islam, it freed slaves. And what is taught to us regarding the ex-presidents, for example, over here, they were the ones who abolished or who stopped slavery, all that. If you analyze that carefully, it's not right, or it may not be right, because whoever is the founder of an entity, that foundation stone, it continues. Whence in reality, if you see, it's an entity which brings everyone into slavery, no matter what system it is. May that be those financial entities, may that be how the employment takes place over here. All that is bringing people into slavery, not abolishing slavery. So over here, Rasulullah, he frees Thoban. Now what happens is that in the 69th verse of Surah An-Nisa mentions that Thoban, the slave of Rasulullah, who was with him in his trips, who was with him wherever he was, an associate and a companion of Rasulullah. He, Rasulullah, when he comes to the mosque, he sees that Thoban, he is upset, disturbed, sitting in the corner of a mosque, of the mosque, and there with his head on his knees. Rasulullah, this compassionate Rasul, he comes to him and says that, Thoban, what is the reason? Why are you upset? Now the teaching which we learn from this attitude of the Holy Prophet is that we too have to possess the same compassion, or at least a reflection of that compassion which Rasulullah possesses with reference to towards mu'mineen in solving their problems. Says that this companion or this slave of Rasulullah, he is upset. Why is he upset? Now the distresses again which we have in this world, they are different of various kinds. Sometimes there is this hadith which says that ad-dunya darun bil bala, that this dunya which Allah has created, it is a house of afflictions. And it isn't as such that it's only in 2011 all these balas they poured down. No. It's since the creation of Prophet Adam, these balas, they also continued. They were created then. So even then people had diseases, people felt sick, even then there were bankruptcies, even then problems, even then family affairs, even then money matters, studies, lack of funds, children, debts, defective births, etc., etc. All that existed then and it exists now. So this dunya which Allah has created, it is a house of all these problems and afflictions that we have. Some of these afflictions, they are curable. There is a solution for that. Some of these afflictions, they cannot be cured. And all of this is a test for mu'mineen. Sometimes it is for the wrong that has been done by them, for that to be forgiven and waived. Sometimes it is to elevate their position. Or in any way, it is a bala. Bala means a test. Now the instructions of Allah that you find is that you have to help everyone, especially when it comes to fellow mu'mineen, we have to help them. The Prophet inquires over here to Sauban, what is the reason that you are upset? One of the other things which we learn till now from this hadith is that Sauban, he is upset. One of the good qualities which mu'mineen must possess is huzn. Huzn means being upset, means being reserved, being worried. Now this worry is not for these day-to-day affairs that we have. It's this huzn, that is that reservation a person has towards his performance as to whether he has performed his duty or not, as to whether Allah is pleased with him or not, as to whether the Imam of time is pleased with us or not. So because we do not know what the performance and the outcome of it is, that huzn, that sorrow is always with us, that maybe he is not pleased, maybe what we did was not accepted. So that is huzn, and huzn is among those good qualities which needs to be possessed by mu'mineen. So here, Sauban, he is mahzoon, he is upset. Why is he upset? It's not a worry related to this dunya. He says that, Ya Rasulullah, I love you so much that I cannot be away from you at all, no matter even for that small duration of time. And then he says, Ya Rasulullah, I am worried for the life after my death, that is, for my hereafter. Says that if I was assigned the heaven, I definitely know that your position is much higher, and there in the heaven you will be in a higher rank, in a higher status. So there will be no interaction between me and you. You will be away from me, and that I cannot tolerate, that distance from you. And then he says, and if I was punished and the hell was assigned to me, then that separation is going to be much more severe. Says that I am worried for that hereafter of mine, that if I don't see you, what is going to happen to me? Now, when it comes, the other thing which we learn from this hadith till now is that there are attachments that we have in this world. Sometimes these attachments are positive and sometimes they are negative. Now the attachment which Thawban has over here to Rasulullah is a positive attachment. Or for example, he is an aashiq, a lover of the Holy Prophet, which is good. We have hadith then which says that whatsoever you love in this world, that's going to remain with you in the hereafter, in your grave and in your barzakh, and with you in your qiyamah. Or for example, if we want to become an aashiq, a lover, for example, first we have to have that awareness, that ma'rifah, that knowledge of who he is, who she is. We have to have that mindset that who he or she is. Or we have to love a thing or someone which benefits us, or which does not lessen in that value, that price which Allah has given to us. And it was mentioned repeatedly that the price which Allah has set for each one individual, one human being, is the paradise. And if we, whatever wrong we do throughout our life, it is as if we are cutting down, slashing that price which Allah has set for us, which is the heaven. So all the wrong we do, we are slashing, knocking down the price of our own. Now if you want to love wealth, love it so that we give khums from it, we give zakat from it, we give sadaqah from it, so that we can serve more, help more, ease the problems of others more, assist, help someone who is in need much more. So it's good if someone has wealth with that intention that Allah, give me a lot more so that I can blossom. So with that wealth again, a person can blossom, can grow. Prophet Adam, and until the last person, whoever it's going to be, who is blessed with wealth on the day of judgment. Now these people who have served, who have lived in accordance to the teachings of God, on the day of judgment, they will regret. Regret for two things. That is, with all this wealth that Allah had given to them, with all those abilities which were given to them, why did they not serve more? The second regret that they will have is that, God, why did you not give me more? That is, if they were blessed or that tawfiq was given to them to serve, they will say that, God, had you given us more, we would have served more. So all these are tawfiqat that are granted by Allah Jalla wa'ala, abilities that are granted by Him, and it is upon us to benefit from them. That is, we have to use these abilities so that we grow, we blossom a lot more than what we are. The other thing which we learn from this hadith is that sadaqah, which you give, charity that you give, it shouldn't be as such that we give that sadaqah to just a few people all the time. There has to be a variety of good that we do throughout our life. If we gave that sadaqah to XYZ this time, in addition to that, give it to someone else. Or for example, we find the same teaching when you go to a mosque and you say your prayers. The teaching is that don't say the prayers all the time in one spot of that mosque. Move a lot. Some rak'at over here, some rak'at in the other point location of that mosque. Because every spot of that masjid, it's going to bear witness for you in the hereafter that you prayed here. So the more witnesses we have, the more we will benefit. The same thing when it comes to serving, helping others, the more services which are provided. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ Quran says that when it comes to the good, mu'mineen, they have to compete with each other. That is, do a lot. Now, here Thawban, he is upset. He says that, I'm worried of the hereafter, that what is going to happen if I don't see you, Ya Rasulullah. I cannot have that separation from you, even in the heaven. I have to be with you all the time. Now, moderating these attachments also, that is necessary. Love and hate that we have in this dunya, we have to justify the reasons behind that love and hate. If one wants to love someone, for example, he loves a woman, he loves a girl, wants to marry him, the Prophet says, okay, if you want to do that, go after a girl, imra'atun salihatun, someone who is good, someone who is pious. That should be the basis of your love in that case. Or says that imra'atun salihatun tu'inhu, that a woman who is pious, who is good, who is helpful to you. That should be the criteria. Not that I just want someone who is only beautiful, or who is only qualified, or who is only possesses these worldly qualities, because these worldly qualities, they will come to an end at a certain point. But if we have those bases as the bases that have been mentioned, that is someone who is good, someone who is whose deen is good, someone whose akhlaq is good, that's going to endure, that is going to remain. Or for example, we find that Prophet Isa, he says that love someone by whose talk your knowledge it increases. Or says that when you look at him, you are reminded of God. Or when you look into his livelihood, you are reminded of the hereafter. That has to be the criteria, nothing else. Or if I love someone or a wealth that decreases in my value, then that love is worthless. We have to be away from that love. So anything which distances us from Allah, we have to be away from him. Now we have to be also very careful when we define these attachments that we have, this love and hate, that many of these unwanted hates in our lives, they will make us suffer. That many a times we break ties with our relatives, it's one of those hates for which we will suffer. And many a times we find that there are hates that will elevate our ranks. For example, the curses, these laan that we have towards the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, it's among those worships that will elevate our ranks. Allahumma al'an awwala zalimin zalama haqqa Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. In a way, we are portraying our love towards the household of the Prophet and hate towards all those enemies who stood against them. So being with the Prophet was the desire of Sauban, and he's worried that what's going to happen of him. That is, when he is in the heaven and the distance is there with the Prophet. Now, for this reason, to remove this distress and worry from Sauban, this ayah is revealed. What is that? Says, Ya Rasulullah, tell Sauban not to be worried. مَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, that whosoever is obedient to Allah and His Prophet, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, he is among those who are blessed by Allah Jalla wa'ala. And tell him that not to be worried. You will be not only with the Prophet, but with all those 124,000 prophets that were sent, you will be with them in the heaven. Not only them, then says, with those who are Siddiqeen, the truthful, the martyrs, the noble ones, you will be with them. Just because that desire of yours was there and you were obedient. Obedience plays the key factor over here. Now when it comes to obedience, it is not as such that we say that I'll pick and choose some of the nice things which Allah has asked me to do and put aside all the others. It doesn't work that way. Obedience means total compatibility. Whatsoever He has said to be done, whatsoever He said not to do, not to be done. To understand this in simple words, I'll quote this other hadith. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, was present and there was a person saying his prayers. There Rasulullah says, calls him, "Hey you." He continues with his prayers, calls him once again. He takes no notice, gives no notice at all to the command of the Prophet, and continues with his prayers. For the third time he calls, he doesn't reply, continues with his prayers. When he completed his prayers, Rasulullah said that, "Did I not call you?" He says, "Did you not see Rasulullah? I was saying my prayers." Rasulullah says that God who commanded you to pray commanded you to be obedient to me. Obedience comes first. When Rasulullah calls you, you have to accept his call. You have to say yes. That acceptance, that obedience will give life to you. Life meaning not this 30, 40, 50 years of life that we have. That is an eternal life which Allah will give you. Because we have these ayat of Quran which say that someone who is obedient to Allah, Allah will give him life. A person comes to our seventh Imam and says that, "Yabna Rasulullah, a person has come to me. I am obedient to you among your followers. A person has come to me and says that your father owed me a large sum. There is no witness, there is no proof. What do I do?" Imam says, "Tonight after midnight, go to Baqi, the graveyard, the cemetery in Medina." And then says that, "Recite this dua, and there you will find that an existence, a being will emerge, will come before you. Don't be scared, do not panic. He's not going to resemble any human, he won't resemble any beast. A violent existence will exist before you." Says, "That is your father." And the reason for him appearing, emerging in that form is because of that disconnect with Ahlul Bayt. That is, because of that lack of connection, because of that lack of obedience towards them, that is their form in the hereafter. So obedience plays the key factor over here. Says someone who is obedient to the Prophet, obedient to Allah, he will be with all the 124,000 prophets in the heaven with them. There will be no separation between him and the prophets, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin. Now when it comes to obedience, the teaching is that whatsoever Allah has said, "Ma aataakumur rasool, فَخُزُوهُ," whatsoever he has said, take it. "وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ," and whatsoever he said, don't. We shouldn't have a say over there. That is, "I believe, I think, I..." Or the other way we can understand that says that your presence before the teachings should be like a dead body before a ghassal. That ghassal who wants to wash that dead body, that body has no movement in it at all. That whatsoever he has said, just submit. Now all this is a lesson to myself first. Says that the ayat is revealed, "O my beloved, tell Soban that be obedient in every aspect and you will be with all of them." Now the Prophet that we have, he is the most compassionate. Rahmatun lil alameen, mercy to the worlds. Passes from a graveyard with some of his companions. The term used over here is that these companions are muhdiqeen. Muhdiqeen means they have surrounded the Prophet like the gem in a ring which is surrounded with silver or gold. Says Rasulullah was in that graveyard, in that cemetery, and these 10 ashab, they were with him, surrounding the Prophet. Rasulullah, he comes to the graveyard and then leaves. Once again comes back, and now he starts crying. Cries a lot. The ashab who were with the Prophet, they say that, "Ya Rasulullah, what makes you cry? Why are you upset?" He says that everyone present in this graveyard in Barzakh is being punished. and everyone there is crying. And for that reason, I am also crying. And then he says that I prayed to the Almighty to reduce this azab on them, and he accepted. And then Rasulullah continues with a lengthy hadith. I'll just recite a few phrases of it. And then says that فَلَوْ صَامُوا هَٰؤُلَاءِ أَيَّامَ الرَّجَبْ وَقَامُوا فِيهَا مَا عُذِّبُوا فِي قُبُورِهِمْ. Says, had they fasted a day or 2 days from the month of Rajab, this azab, this chastisement which they are seeing, they would not have seen. Then he says that 1 or 2 days fast of that month of Rajab, standing at night in worship in that month of Rajab, amanun min azab, would have been a protection from them, from all this sorrow, from all this chastisement that they are seeing in that qabr. And then says, قَالَ نَعَمْ يَا ثَوْبَانَ وَالَّذِي بَعَثَنِي بِالْحَقِّ نَبِيًّا مَا مِنْ مُسْلِمٍ وَلَا مُسْلِمَةٍ يَسُومُ يَوْمًا مِنْ رَجَبْ وَقَامَ لَيْلَةً يُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ عِبَادَةَ أَلْفِ سَنَةٍ. That is, someone just for the sake of Allah fasts a day or 2 days from the month of Rajab, says Allah would have blessed him with the reward of 1,000 years of fasting, just for that one day. And then continues with many more rewards. And finally he says that we have to have that hope in Allah that he gives. Now many a times we are reluctant that if we do something good, whether or not we will be blessed with that reward. We have to have that maximum hope in Allah in order to benefit a lot from him. And there are riwayat that say that a person will be judged on the day of judgment based upon the hope he had in Allah. If he had a lot of hope in Allah, Allah will judge him with a lot of mercy. And if the hope we have in him was little, was tiny, was minute, again based upon that he will judge. So the other thing which we have to teach ourselves is to have a lot of hope, especially over here with all these diseases nowadays that we have, depression, stress, etc. These are diseases which we don't befit mu'mineen. Mu'mineen should never be stressed. Mu'mineen must never be depressed. Why should we worry? There is someone who is worrying for us. We don't need two persons to worry for one thing. And that is Allah Jalla wa Ala. Or we have riwayat which say that ma'asumeen, they worry for us much more than we worry for our own selves. So distress, stress, worry of Sauban is for the separation which he will have with the existence of Rasulullah, and says that make it as such that I never separate from you. May that be in this dunya, barzakh or qiyamah. And that is the same dua that we have from Allah Jalla wa Ala. The other thing is that Rasulullah, he is all wise, Hakim. Quran is Hakim. We find in Quran, Luqman, he is also known as Hakim. That is someone who possesses that wisdom. Now, how do we possess this wisdom? For that again, there are tips. One of the tips which we found in this hadith from Sauban is that he is mahzoon. Huzn is that quality which mu'mineen should possess, that they should worry of what's going to happen in the hereafter, or what about the performance. Now, to adapt or to come closer to this hikmah, we find that the Prophet, he says that لَوْلَا تَكْسِيرٌ فِي كَلَامِكُمْ وَتَمْرِيجٌ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ لَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَرَى وَلَسَمِعْتُمْ مَا أَسْمَعْ. In our day-to-day lives, we are blind, we are deaf. We don't see the realities, we don't see the haqa'iq at all. Why is that? Rasulullah, he says that if you did not talk a lot, that is, all this chat that we have, the useless talk that we have, that becomes a hindrance between us and our Lord. In riwayat we find that there are 7 inputs to the soul, and if these 7 inputs to the soul, they are protected, you find that that soul also, it will not be contaminated. And if that soul is protected, we would be able to perform a better service, a better namaz. The reason why our namaz, our soul is wandering around, it's because outside our prayers, these 7 inputs to the soul, they are open. The 7 inputs are the 2 ears, the mouth, the private parts, the eyes. Now these are the 7 inputs that we have. Says that if you secure them outside the prayers, don't see everything, don't listen to everything, don't talk everything, and again control your private parts, says that in your prayers you will have a secure flight. You will take off and you will land as it should. Now the reason why we do not, it's because we are not secure and safe outside the prayers. Here Rasulullah says that control your chat, don't talk a lot. Because when you talk a lot, and also control your hearts, because that heart of yours becomes the grazing place of shaitan. And that would make us deaf, and that would make us blind. He says that if we control our mouths, you will see what I see, and you will hear what I hear. We don't hear, we don't see, because we don't control ourselves. And again in riwayat we find that there is a minimum and a maximum that has been mentioned in seeing what Rasulullah sees and in hearing what he hears. Says that if you cannot see anything at all with your eyes, or if you cannot hear anything, the minimum of that is while you are asleep in your dreams, if that those communications are there, that minimum hearing and that minimum sight of yours, it exists. So words, they have to be balanced. Whatever we say, it should be balanced. And if we have this mindset that whatever word it comes out of our mouth, it's equal to an action, and actions will be accounted on the day of judgment, that way we will be able to control our mouths much better. So every word that comes out, it's equal to an action. Taunting, backbiting, talking evil about others behind their backs, etc., all these are words, but in reality these words become actions. Or even a person, if he is unqualified, if he is invited to speak and he speaks wrong, if I don't work hard and waste your time over here, all these are words. And that wastage of your time, again, I'm going to be accountable for that. So speakers, orators, whoever, or whatever we say, all those are words, are counted as actions, and these actions will be accountable on the day of judgment. As-salawat. Now, coming back to the topic that we'll talk about it a little bit, and that is the secrets of success. We have this ayah in Quran which says that وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, that is, whatsoever we do, that is what's going to we are going to benefit. Looking into the youth today, for example, we seem to be a lot confused. We cannot focus a lot. Or when it comes to choosing a subject, we choose something, but after a few months again change. When it comes to job again, switching jobs, skipping jobs. There is no set mindset. There is a lot of confusion. We cannot concentrate. So we have to, first of all, set ourselves a goal and go after it. Or many a times we find that the youth, instead of them, they continuing with their studies or putting that studies aside, it's easier for them to work a few hours and get a lot more money. So that again, it's not right. There is an age that Allah has given to each one of us, and in that age we have to study. After a certain age we cannot study. When it comes to work again, it's the same thing. Not every work, not every job, etc. So youth, it is that period which is full of hope, full of desires, full of wishes. A time which is fresh, when a person is happy and he can get to whatever he wants quickly. A lot of dreams he has or she has, and these dreams, they may come true, they may not come true. And it may so happen that some individuals, they have to go through a hard time to get to their goals, but some know they can get to their goals easily, quickly. Some are talented, and that talent is God-given. They get to their goal because of that God-given talent. Certain they don't. So on average, we have to work hard. We have to plan what the goal is, what subjects we want, what do we want to do. And again, based upon what we are fit for, we continue with that. It shouldn't be as such that the son, he wants to do something, the father, he forces to become a dentist, for example. That would not work out. After a few months, he's going to be a dropout. So whatever, the secrets behind the success of great men are not just one or two. Part of their success is due to the God-given qualities which they possess. And most of their success is because of their own hard work which they had. Now one of the means of success is that the hard work which they had. Successful is he who discovers his talent, which he can further blossom it both morally and materially. And that again is a tough task. Now it should not be as such that one time everyone, he wants to become a physician, or sometimes we find that all these suing is so much nowadays, so we become a lawyer. When we find oil in some countries, then everyone just rushes to that and then starts working in oil. No, that shouldn't be the case. We have to see what our own talent is and what we can do. And gauging these talents again, it's an art. An example can be given over here. Marhum Ayatullah Sayyid Hassan Mudarris, he was studying. His father says, come back home and help me. He has so many children to look after. He himself is ill, he cannot. Now this young boy, 12 years of age, he has to come back, leave his studies aside and help in a grocery shop to earn some money so that he looks after his parents. There a person, he comes to buy something from that shop. And upon seeing the performance of this young boy, comes straight to his father. Says, why don't you send him to the Hausa to study? He says he was studying there, but I had to bring him back to help me with the income of my livelihood. He says, whatever he earns from that shop, I'll pay you double of that amount. Send him, let him study. The father accepts. Says that the son was sent to the Hausa to study and becomes Ayatullah Shaheed Sayyid Hassan Mudarris, who performs those miraculous tasks and plays an important role in this revolution again. So those talents, they have to be judged. Or for example, when Edison was asked that why are most of the youth unsuccessful, he replies that because they step in the wrong fields, which is a fact. And such people, they damage in two ways. A task that they cannot perform and they will not be successful in it, or the assignment that is given to them in this wrong field, again that assignment also they cannot perform correctly. Or every person from his birth is designed to a designated task, and prosperous are those whose talent and field is recognized at the correct time. Or for example, Galileo, he liked making toys from his childhood. His father forced him into medicine. He was not successful in that field. Again, turns back and starts working in mathematics, astronomy and physics, and there he blossoms and his talent, and he becomes among those who invents this pendulum and is among the first one who says that this earth, it moves around the sun. So it's that hard work and that continuity and among the factors of his success. Quran says that one laysa lil insan illa ma sa'a, that insan, man, he has to work hard, and whatever he gets, it's because of his hard work. Or for example, we find again that all successful men worked hard. Alexander Hamilton, for example, a genius. A reporter said that people say you are a genius. He replied that I have no knowledge of my talent, that what I know is that I work hard. So we have to work hard when it comes to studies, when it comes to work, job, whatever. On Napoleon, when he was asked, he says, I just sleep for 5 hours. And what we find today, it's keeping awake all during the night and sleeping during the day, again, which is among those things which will not help in us getting anywhere. Or for example, Marhum Shaheed Awwal, he wrote his book Luma when he is in the prison, that is that hard work. Or Ibn Khaldun, his work on history again was written when he was in exile. So all that is hard work. The Prophet, he sees a laborer, his hands rough and swollen with blisters on it. The Prophet, he raises the hand of this person and says that the hellfire, it will never burn these hands. This hand, Allah Jalla wa'ala, he loves it. Why? Because of that hard work. Or for example, in Masjid al-Kufa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he met a group of people sitting in the corner of this mosque. Imam says, who are you? They say, we are Rijal al-Haq. We are the men of righteousness, Haq. And then Imam says, what do you do? They say that if we get something to eat, we eat. If we don't get anything, we don't eat. In reply, Imam says, and so are the dogs in the market of Kufa. If they get a bone, they eat. If they don't, they don't. Imam says, come on, all of them have to be dispersed. A job has to be given to them. They have to work. They have to work hard. Or for example, an abid worshipping. And Rasulullah was introduced to the Prophet. He says that he worships all year round and his brother supports him. In reply, Rasulullah says his brother is the true abid. He is a dependent on that. He is a burden on him. And Allah loves his brother much more than this person who is worshipping all year round and his brother is supporting him. Many of the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam were oil sellers. Cobblers, shepherds. Or for example, if you look into the history of Plato, he has these trips when he comes to Egypt. To cover the cost of his journey, he sells oil during his trip. All these great personalities, Amir al-Mu'mineen, for example, he digs wells, he plants, he irrigates, he harvests the crops. And all of that hard work we find in the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Or for example, our fifth Imam, he works in extreme climates, was sweating. An associate of his says that such a job does not fit you, Yabna Rasulullah. Imam says, working and earning is worship. And this way, I am freeing myself and my family from you and others. So that is the teaching. That we have to work hard, and that faith is that we have to have a designed goal, a specific goal before us, and that talent, whatever Allah has given to each one of us, has to match that. So being ambitious drives and makes one arrive at his destination. And for that self-love has to be there, that determination has to be there. And only then will a person come to his goal. What we find in Quran, for example, the Muslims in the Battle of Badr, 313, such a small number. And on the contrary, there are 1,000 men. Here, the location that they have, it is soft sand, no horses, no catering services, no ammunition. On the contrary, we find that they have 1,000 soldiers, all of them well equipped, on a hard surface, and fresh hot food being served. But it was their determination of these 313 which made them win. That is something which we learn from Quran. And loads of examples that can be mentioned over here, and inshallah we will continue that. Among the personalities that can be mentioned tonight is Muslim son of Aqil. He is one of the most renowned figures that we find and who played an important role during the time of Amirul Mu'mineen, and again in this tragedy of Karbala. His services remarkable during those 10 years of Imam Mujtaba's time. He is the son of Aqil, brother of Amirul Mu'mineen. That is, Amirul Mu'mineen is the uncle of Muslim. Nephew of Imam Ali and Imam Ali's first cousin in lineage. He was brought up with Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. That is that same environment which these two were brought up. And later on he becomes the son-in-law of Amirul Mu'mineen. That is Ruqayya, the daughter of Amirul Mu'mineen, is wedded to Muslim. So again, another elevation in the rank which he possesses. And in the years 36 and 40 after Hijrah, he is appointed and given the ranks in Imam's army and his battalions, and in the war of Siffin, when Imam organized the army, he gave the charge of the right wing to Imam Mujtaba, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, to Abdullah bin Ja'far and Muslim ibn Aqil. That is, all those key positions that we find were given to Muslim ibn Aqil. And even after the shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we find this obedience, this submission which existed during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen continues even after that. So, he never stepped back even after Amir al-Mu'mineen. During those 10 years of Imam Mujtaba's time, again he is a servant to Imam Mujtaba. He and his children sacrificed themselves for the Imam of their time, for Aba Abdullah. And after Imam Mujtaba, we find that he again serves the noble cause of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Here it was mentioned yesterday that it was on the 8th of Zilhijjah when Aba Abdullah, he cancels his Hajj, changes into Umrah Mufrada, and turns towards Iraq. And it is that very day when Muslim ibn Aqil, he is martyred. Prior to sending him as the ambassador of the Islamic revolution of Karbala, Aba Abdullah is in Masjid al-Haram. He offers a 2-rakat prayer between the rukn and the maqam, and after that appoints Muslim ibn Aqil. Says that, Muslim, these many letters we have received from Kufa, minimum is 18,000, maximum is 40,000. Says that in reply to these requests and letters that we have received from Kufa, I second you, I sent you as my representative, as the ambassador to the people of Kufa. He comes to Kufa. There, all these people who had sent all of these thousands of letters, initially they were with him. And on the contrary, we find that Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad is sent as the strongest man of Yazid to Kufa. Here, with all those powers that he possesses, with all those arrest warrants which he has, those with Muslim, they are arrested, they are imprisoned, and many of them remain in the prisons until they died. Upon seeing this atmosphere of Kufa, all of these men who supported Muslim ibn Aqil, they reduced to 30. That is, he said his Maghrib prayers, he turned back. From those thousands of people who were there, only 30 had remained. He walked out of that masjid, comes home, and there says that out of those 30, only 10 have remained. A few more steps, those 10 also have dispersed. Muslim, this noble, this loyal servant of Abu Abdullah, when he finds himself all alone, says, where should I go? No home, someone who is homeless. Comes and sits outside the house of this lady known as Tawwa. She, when she finds out that there's a stranger sitting outside, says that, come on, who are you? Go away from here. It's not good for a stranger to sit outside my house. He says, where shall I go? I have nowhere to go, no place to go. Says, who are you? Says, I'm Muslim, son of Aqil. Says, it's that Muslim son of Aqil, come inside. She was a mu'mina. Serves him, feeds him. And that night when Muslim ibn Aqil occupies in worship and then he dozes off for a while, sees Amirul Mu'mineen in his dreams. Amirul Mu'mineen says, Muslim, very soon you will be joining me. And when these mala'een, the soldiers of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, they found out that Muslim may be hiding in that house, and they wanted to burn down the house of this mu'mina, he himself comes out to save and to protect that lady. Has a fierce battle with the soldiers of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, is severely wounded, and then taken to the rooftop of the governor house. Muslim, severely wounded. They offer him some water. Muslim, he wants to drink that water. Says, any wish do you have? Says, yes, if a message could be given to my master Abu Abdullah to cancel his visit and not to come to Kufa. Because what was shown to us, the picture, all those letters that were sent were all wrong. It was just a bunch of lies. Muslim is offered some water. And when he takes that cup of water and he wants to drink, as his mouth was bleeding, all that blood flew into that cup. He cannot drink, throws that water away. Another cup is given to him, the same scenario again, wants to drink. All that blood flows into it, becomes najis, he cannot drink. For the third time, it is given and he cannot drink. Then he says that, لو كان الحمد لله, that praise be out to Allah, لو كان من الرزق المقسوم لشربته, that if it was from among that rizq that was destined by Allah جل وعلا, I would have drank it. But it seems that my sustenance from this dunya has come to an end, that water again will not be given. Muslim, for the crime, and that is being with Abu Abdullah, he is thrown down from that governor house. His body is dragged all the way in those streets of Kufa. Message is given to Abu Abdullah that the best of his men, among them Hani, Muslim ibn Aqil, they are martyred. And Imam says, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, for this tragedy and this affliction which poured down upon them. Riwayat, they say that Imam, when he gets this news that he has passed away, like he cried on the day of Arafah, he cries upon the shahadat of Muslim ibn Aqil. So much of resemblance between him and his master Abu Abdullah. He wants to drink, he couldn't drink. When it comes to Abu Abdullah and Hussein, we find that phrases say that Binafsi al-Hussein, al-Mutawaffa, al-Muhtadhar, al-maqtul, al-mazbuh, al-masmum, al-makrub. Muslim, he was beaten, he was thrown down, he died. But when it comes to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, we find that he sees a variety of deaths, not just one death. He is someone who died as a muhtaza, someone who was killed, someone who was martyred, someone who was beheaded, someone who was poisoned, someone who died with all these afflictions, makroob, that is someone who is in all that pain. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayalamu al-lazeen zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Ilahi, بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها 10 times. يا الله 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 يا الله. May Allah hasten the reappearance of our Imam. May He enlist us, count us among His true supporters and servants. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant might and dignity to Islam and all Muslims, defamation to all kuffar and to all munafiqeen, all those in every corner of the world, every Muslim. May Allah protect them from the evil of every shaitan in every form. All those who are ill and ailing, may Allah grant them shifa. All those who have hopes in these majalis, all those who were with us and are not with us anymore, all those who have passed away, may Allah elevate their ranks. Our children, may Allah protect them. Those in need of spouses, the best of spouses to be granted to them. Those who have spouses, the best of children to be given to them. Allahumma ajjal li waliyyika al-faraj ma tami Hussain.